Hi, my name is Father Dustin Lyon. I'm a Greek Orthodox priest, but I'm also a co-chair of the local crop walk here in DeKalb, Illinois, and a member of the Leaders Under 50 team for CWS. I'd like to ask you to support Maurice Bloom's 9th 100-mile walk, in which he tries to raise awareness and funds to end hunger and poverty in this world. Please check out www.100mile.org, and that's 100100mile.org, and show how you can support him. Thank you.
This is the podcast Walk, Talk, Listen. An attempt to connect people and make this world a bit better by sharing opinions and experiences based on the belief that everyone's perspective is true.
So I'm Father Dustin Lyon. I'm currently in DeKalb, Illinois, which is not far from Chicago. We're not quite a suburb of Chicago, but we're pretty close to the suburbs. And I'm a priest in the Greek Archdiocese, the Greek Orthodox Church. And I've been ordained since 2011 in the church. I've been involved in the crop walk since 2013 and been on the board, been co-chair, and not only here in DeKalb, but also in Dubuque, Iowa, where I was placed before I came to DeKalb. So I've kind of had two experiences of two different walks. And I guess now I'm also, not only am I a co-chair of our local walk, but I'm also a part of the Leaders Under 50, one of the CWS kind of groups getting together to garnish ideas and stuff to help the walks go forward. So
great. Yeah, I'm so upset about that under 50 because I cannot be part of that group.
I would say you look pretty young, so just barely, I would imagine.
You know, the reason that I walk 100 miles is to raise awareness around hunger and poverty. You know, if you would be asked to walk 100 miles, what would drive you to walk 100 miles? What drives you in life?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Because I'm normally not a walker or a runner or anything like that. Mm. But I think knowing that it goes to something that's bigger than I am. You know, you see some people who are all about me. And that just doesn't motivate me. But I think it's knowing that it's doing good in the world and making a change, making a difference. And I think that speaks to a lot of people my generation or younger. They see a world, you know, in my lifetime, I've seen the world change quite a bit from 9/11 when I was in college to the U.S. going to war in the Middle East for years on end. You know, kind of seeing people struggle out there, you know, family, friends, or even myself. You know, there was a time when I lived paycheck to paycheck and worried about having to have health insurance and those sorts of things. And so being able to give back, you know, now that I am fully employed and don't have to worry about some of those things, now it's my turn to help and make a difference. And so I think that's a good motivation. And, you know, and to walk 100 miles to make a difference, to raise awareness about a cause, I think that's what would get me out there. Hitting the pavement, as they say.
Okay, thank you. You know, when I do the walking, I do a lot of thinking because it, you know, takes 6 to 7 hours per day to do it 20 miles or so. And so, you know, I start reflecting on, you know, why are we on this, in this life, on this earth? And then when I walk with people, we very often talk about, you know, the meaning of life, about faith, etc. So one discussion that has come up is that it seems that, although I've been kind of said, Maurice, you know, you cannot generalize, but you have to be careful. Young people are also very diverse. But one of the discussions that I often have is, you know, it seems that the younger generation looks at things differently. So you know, yeah, I'm not saying I agree, but I would like to hear from you. What do you see? What's happening around faith, about spirituality with the younger generation? What do you see?
Yeah, so there's a few different trends that I've noticed. And I'm coming from the Eastern Orthodox tradition, since that's where most of my experience has been in my training, is that young people are looking for two different things, I think. I notice a lot of young people are moving or gravitating towards some of the more traditional expressions of the faith, very liturgical, because it gives structure to their lives. And if you don't have that structure in your life or in the world around you, and the world's kind of falling apart, you need something to kind of keep you going, that kind of that structure. It kind of gives you hope, a foundation, if you will. And so we've seen a lot of people, especially Orthodoxy in the South, we see a lot of young people coming into the church. They enjoy the incense, the chanting, the historical roots, those sorts of things. But the other thing I've noticed about a lot of young people is, for listeners out there who may be familiar with Orthodoxy, it's still very ethnic, tied to the Greeks or the Russians or the Serbians or the Romanians or those sorts of things. But the young people who are second, third generation are less interested in Orthodoxy as a tie to their ethnic homeland and more interested in being church. And so kind of living out your faith. And as you know, the two great commandments that Christ gives us is loving God and loving neighbor. And so people exploring how do you do that in our current context. And so it isn't just about, for example, in the Greek Archdiocese, coming to church and having good gyros and baklava and souvlaki and those sorts of good ethnic treats, though those are all very good. But people want to see a deeper connection, a way of living out their faith, whether it's a prayer life or whether it's doing crop walks, or going to your local soup kitchen or whatever it is, that people are really hungering to be a part of that, like that something bigger than themselves. So those are some trends I've seen kind of in the church or in the faith spiritually among young people. And of course, there's also a lot of young people who are kind of rejecting religion as well. And I think what they're rejecting is an institution that has failed to kind of live up to its calling. And I don't blame them for that. Every institution, I mean, humans are involved and humans mess up, and every institution has its shortcomings. So I don't blame them for that, but I think there's something about gathering together as a community and being accountable to that community, or having that community help you kind of teach you or be there for you, when you fall and need a helping hand to pick you back up. So I think that's what we're losing in today's world. We're becoming so independent and so isolated from each other. You see this in clubs, like bowling clubs or Lions Club or Kiwanis, those sorts of organizations are dying out, and so are churches, but there's nothing there to really replace them. And so people are becoming very individualistic, and they kind of turn to Facebook. And of course, we've seen, or at least the psychologists say that that's causing problems psychologically, a feeling of isolation and competition with people and those sorts of things. So I think it's important to have a live community that you can be a part of, especially as people travel more and may not be near their families. So you don't have that family support. And so this churches can become a spiritual family, if you will, for young folks.
And do you, so that was kind of already probably a trend that you saw before COVID, kicked in, I think more than 7 to 9 months ago now. Do you see, what do you see happening now as a result of COVID and the behavior change, that, we need to go through in order to manage this?
Well, I think for the churches, for people, folks like me, who priests and kind of the administration side, it's kind of forcing us to think about how to become relevant in today's world. Whereas it's very easy to kind of coast. You've got kind of a core group, or maybe a family members that have started the church and they're still around and giving, but you're not seeing a whole lot of growth, or they're not getting involved in the community, or those sorts of things. And I think what COVID has done is it's kind of upset us a little bit. And I think that can be a good thing because it kind of makes us kind of take a step back and say, okay, how can we rethink about what this looks like in today's world? How can we engage people in different ways? How can we preach the gospel, in new ways? And so it's kind of forced us out of our comfort zones. And much like I think of it, you know, Jesus confronted the Sadducees and the Pharisees and, you know, the scribes and all of those sorts of folks who were very comfortable. They had this kind of a built-in system, an institution, and Jesus comes along and he kind of confronts them and challenges them to break out of the mold, so to speak, and kind of go to the Gentiles and spread the, be the light in the dark, light to the nations, which is what their calling was. And I think COVID can function in the same way for us today if we're willing to heed the call, so to speak. And then for folks at home, I think it's challenged them to think about how to do spirituality in a serious way. It's no longer, because a lot of people, I think, are used to, they wake up and they come to church and it's there. You know, there's a chanter, there's a priest, there's, you know, greeters, those sorts of things. But now that they don't necessarily have access to all of that, or they can't go every Sunday because of COVID limitations, now they have to think about how to bring the church into their homes. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be a good thing too, establishing regular prayer patterns or thinking about how to live out their faith and make it more than just a Sunday faith. But again, it's something, you know, COVID has challenged us, and it's if we're willing to kind of heed the calls, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You know, I am actually very fortunate that, there are people actually around the world who have been supporting the 100-mile, you know, different people that I've been walking with in the past couple of years. What I also learned is that, it's not only I met with people that speak a different language, you know, because they live in Indonesia or they come from the Netherlands or whatever, but also how they perceive certain things and how the meaning that words have, or how they express themselves around, meaning or religion, or and one is not better than the other. It's just different. I met people are very reluctant to share about their spirituality or religion. But I find it fascinating, and what I hope is that this platform also helps to understand a little bit about, you know, the different perspectives that are out there, and again to make everybody a little bit closer to each other. My last question for you today is, you know, is there any message that you would have to the people that have been listening and looking at this today?
You know, that's a good question. Life really is short, and one of the things that's key in our tradition is we talk about salvation as theosis. That is kind of finding union with the divine, union with God. And the Greek word for that is theosis. And one of the things that the church fathers and the church mothers talk about in order to find that union is you have to humble yourself. You have to set your own ego aside. And so I think life is too short to always go around asserting me and having it my way and looking out and see how much money or things I can collect. And I think there's much more value in humbling yourself. And this is the image we see of Christ on the cross, right? He set his ego aside in order to die on the cross for humanity. It's an image of God's love. And I think that's where true treasure is found, is when you're able to kind of set that aside and form relationships with other people, especially if they're different than you, especially if they think differently than you or believe differently than you. I think there's a lot of value there. And I think that's where the real treasure is. And I think that's where things like CWS and what they're doing can be really valuable, because it's not just about helping people, but it's about forming those relationships with people. and getting dirty together, so to speak, you know, as you try to solve problems and work things out. So I think if there's anything, any word that for people to take away is, don't be afraid to kind of set your own ego aside and jump outside your comfort zone and reach out to someone who you may be a little uncomfortable with or don't know very well, and get to know them. And I think you'll find that we're all human and we all have a dignity. And I think you'll be especially blessed, you know, when you do that.
No, thank you for that message. It really, you know, resonates to me. I mean, folks that have heard me, you know, talk earlier is I really believe in the phrase, you know, everyone's perspective is true but partial. Or in other words, you know, nobody can be wrong all the time. So that means that there's always a window of opportunity to, you know, to listen. And I actually think that nowadays, listening is more important than talking. I mean, many of us are talking, but not really listening. No, thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate it. Let's go the extra 100 miles.